What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
So, as a psychiatrist, you get the ability to issue these types of medications to patients and citizens. What research would you do on Zoloft and suicidal ideation, homicidal ideation?
I was taught extensively about SSRIs and suicidal ideation in my training. In Vermont, in Boston, yes.
Okay, so in Vermont was when you did conduct the degree, right?
Yes.
And in Boston was when you were a resident, right?
Yes.
And you had board certification on general psychiatry, right?
Yes.
You can have a certification on subspecialty, right?
There are some subspecialties, yes.
Right, and some of the subspecialties deal with postpartum or women that are pregnant and have babies and have psychiatric symptomology.
There's no board certification for perinatal or reproductive psychiatry.
Well, there are plenty of classes that are recognized at, for example, at Harvard Medical School, there's an annual class or symposium, if you will, for postpartum. Have you ever been to that?
No, sir.
What have you done to research or to improve your education? I understand you went to med school and that you were a resident. What programs, continuing education, symposiums have you attended since you got the ability to prescribe these medicines to people?
I have not attended a symposium.
Have you attended anything?
I have not, but I have done a lot of reading on my own of research and guidelines about this area in psychiatry.
Did you tell Lindsay when you were going? Because one of the things that you guys are always concerned about is what's called informed consent, right?
Yes.
And what is informed consent? What is that?
In a
medical sense, not just like out in the streets.
Explaining to a patient the risks and benefits of treatment and possible alternatives and making sure that the patient understands what you're saying.
Now, when you were going over the symptomology or when you were going over the side effects of Zoloft, one of the side effects of Zoloft is, and I quote, severe trouble sleeping, right?
Yes.
Did you tell her that?
Well, insomnia is listed as a side effect.
No. You already said yes. You know it. Did you tell her that Zoloft has a side effect of giving the patient severe trouble sleeping? That's all.
So I didn't use the word severe because it typically doesn't cause severe trouble sleeping. But I thought you were referring to when she told me that she did have severe trouble sleeping.
Well,
and that
that's
was
what
true.
She told you, right? That she had severe trouble sleeping, right?
She told me, yes.
Yes. And you know that one of the side effects of Zoloft is, let's say, trouble sleeping. You know that, right?
Yes.
Your answer is yes. Jerry has to be able to hear you.
Yes.
And why would you prescribe Zoloft to a young woman who's postpartum, who's coming to you with anxiety? I'm telling you, she can't sleep. She's got all of these symptoms, and you prescribe a medication that would have a side effect of trouble sleeping?
So individuals have very varied responses to medications. Some have no side effects, some have one or two. It's impossible to predict, but Zoloft is a top choice, a first-line medication for
her. Says who?
Says it's the general consensus among psychiatrists.
Again, we can't have both of you talking at the same time. So let her finish her answer, and then I'll give you plenty of time to follow up any questions regarding her answer. So, can you finish your answer on that?
There's extensive research supporting the use of sertraline in this instance, and the general consensus among psychiatrists is that it's a first-line safe medication for individuals, including postpartum women.
How about the kids that shoot other kids in high school from the lawsuits that come out of that against Zoloft? Did you read about them?
Okay, sure.
Overall.
Sorry?
You hear me?
I wasn't sure what the question was. The
question was, in response to your observation about how all the psychiatrists and psychiatrists think that it's a very, very safe, wonderful first-line drug, who researched it. How about the kids that kill other kids in schools with the lawsuits that arise out of the use of SSRIs? Have you ever researched that?
I don't know much about that.
You know about the SSRIs and messing with someone's brain? They go out, they shoot people for no reason, right?
I'm not aware that that's linked to SSRIs.
So you didn't really talk to her about increased risk of suicide in 24-year-olds or down because she's 4 or 5 years older than that. You didn't talk to her about the trouble sleeping that can be a side effect, but describes this other drugs that you could have given her that would perfectly safe and calm her and allow someone with no psychiatric history to sleep better, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so you prescribed her with the Zoloft. It was 25 milligrams, right?
Yes.
And when you prescribed her with the Zoloft, 25 milligrams, was that increased up to 0.05 milligrams? Or did you increase it at some point?
The instructions were to increase it to 50 after 1 week.
After 1 week?
Yes.
And you expected that she would listen to your instructions, right?
Yes.
And she did. Right?
She waited about a month, but then yes, she did.
Why did she wait a month?
I think it took her some time to decide whether that was truly what she wanted to do.
Right, she was afraid of the drugs, wasn't she?
She was afraid of side effects.
And she didn't want to take the pills, did she?
She eventually did want to take the pills because she wanted to feel better.
A month later, right?
Yes.
So you prescribe the Zoloft SSRI, and then you tell her after a week to increase it, and she doesn't take that medication for a month, correct?
Correct.
And then she did take the medication, right?
Yes.
And did you meet with her or talk to her before she actually started to implement that particular regimen?
I had met with her beforehand, but I was not aware of when she made the decision to go ahead and take it.
So you met her on the 15th of September, right?
Yes.
When was the next time you met her?
Can I check?
Sure, of course. Actually, you can look anything you want.
September 28th.
And on September 28th, did you discuss with her the fact that she was afraid to take the Zoloft?
Yes.
And did you recommend that she do that?
Well, she said that she was feeling better at that point and wasn't sure.
It's a real easy question. When you talked with her, did you recommend that she increase or take the Zoloft?
At that visit, I don't think that I did.
Okay. So when did she actually take the Zoloft?
She told me in her October 20th visit that she had taken it 1 week prior.
And she told you that when she increased it in accordance with your instructions, she went off the rails, right?
I don't think she used those words, but she had
said that. What words did she use for you as her doctor?
She felt awful.
Awful. Why did she feel awful? Did she have stomach ache? Did she have headache? Why did she feel awful?
She did have some stomach aches. She had some diarrhea, and she had a difficult time eating. She also had increased anxiety. She had some more depressed feelings. She had more difficulty sleeping.
And what was your advice to her as her doctor on the 28th of October, after she told you about the effect the Zoloft had on her?
I told her to stop it. Stop the medication.
Okay. Now, Zoloft being an SSRI, and a patient that is taking the Zoloft from 0.05, we spent Friday afternoon going over the drugs, and 0.05 milligrams is the lowest dose and all that. That's the dose that is prescribed to people, invariably, correct?
It goes up to 200, but that is a starting dose.
For pretty much all of you psychiatrists would agree with that, right? 0.05, right?
50.
50? Okay. And you then told her to stop?
Yes.
What does it mean to titrate something?
To slowly increase the amount.
What do you tell patients when they run an SSRI as to weaning them off the SSRIs?
Depends what the dose is. If it's a high dose, you need to slowly decrease the dose, so kind of the opposite of titration. But if it's a low dose to begin with, you can stop it.
Are you supposed to tell a person that's on an SSRI to stop immediately or to slowly withdraw from it?
At 50 milligrams, it is perfectly fine to stop it immediately.
So you didn't have any concerns at all about telling her to immediately stop taking the Zoloft? And what did you do, put her on another drug?
Not immediately.
Okay. So did she relate to you on that October 28th meeting that you had? Was it the 28th or the 26th?
I met with her the 21st and then the 26th.
Okay. Now, on the 26th of October, what did she tell you her condition was?
So she was feeling back to how she was before the Zoloft, which is not great still. And that she was considering a new medication.
So she was considering it. Did she do research on medication as to what medication she wanted to take? Is that what you're telling this spirit?
She didn't specify exactly what medication she wanted to take, but that she wanted to try something else because she was still having significant anxiety.
So when you say she wanted to try something else, I'm just asking, did you tell her what you recommended she try, or is that something that she decided to do on her own?
No, I gave her my recommendation.
Okay. The only reason why I ask that is that, you know, a lot of times people might think that she's a psychopharmacologist, that she's a heart surgeon, that she's a vascular surgeon, that she knows everything about medicine. That's not true, is it?
No.
Do you agree with me that prior to telling her to stop the Zoloft, that one of the concerns we've had is that Zoloft affects anxiety and affects sleep, and you hope that it treats the underlying anxiety by balancing brain chemistry and increasing serotonin, right?
Yes.
Is that fair? And you'd agree with me that it does, as a side effect, have an impact on a person's falling asleep or staying asleep as a common side effect, right?
Happen. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it certainly happens to some. But it is temporary. That's the important distinction, is that there are many side effects that disappear entirely, and then the medicine is quite helpful for those certain conditions.
Yep.
Yes.
She had problems sleeping, didn't she?
Yes.
Even after the Zoloft, right?
Yes.
So you, not her, you recommended a particular drug that she should take, right?
Yes.
And again, as it relates to what one would expect a young woman who's a labor and delivery nurse to know about psychiatric medication, what is methogene? Do you know?
Sorry?
Methogene.
I'm not sure.
How about Hermabate, B-A-T-E, H-E-R-M-A-B-A-T-E. How about that? You ever heard of that?
I'm not familiar with that.
That's what's used to administer to a woman who's going through birth. You don't have an obligation to know that, do you?
No.
You have an obligation to know about psychiatric medications, though, right?
Yes.
There's a difference between what's known as nescience, which is not knowing what you have no duty to know, and ignorance, which is you don't know what you should know. Is that fair?
Yes.
So, did you ever gauge Lindsay's knowledge or ability to judge what medication would be good for her?
So that was my role. That was my role.
Right.
I didn't expect her to know significantly the details about different psychiatric medications.
Is it important to know that a woman that's coming to you because of postpartum issues, shall we say, had prior problems in prior deliveries?
Yes.
And you'd agree with me that you're on the front line of health care for pregnant women when someone comes to see you, either pregnant or after having a baby, right?
They're usually referred by a therapist or an OB, but yes.
Okay. So being on the front line and dealing with these people, and you advertise that you deal with pregnant people before they have babies, right?
Yes.
And after, correct?
Yes.
Did she have any prior issues with her prior babies?
I knew that she had had some anxiety symptoms with her prior, after her prior child was, after her second child was born.
That would be Dawson?
Yes.
And when she saw you after having Callum, how old was Dawson, if you know?
A few years old, maybe two or three.
Did she tell you what the side effects were after she had Dawson?
She did. I did not list them because...
Excuse me. That means you didn't write it down?
Yes.
So what is it? Memory? We'll go by that, right?
Sorry?
We'll go by your memory?
Go by my memory about what? I don't recall exactly which side effects she said, but I recall that they were some of the very common ones, the ones that are temporary.
Hold on. You're telling this jury that you don't recall what the side effects were that she told you, but remember you said they were general, common, that you said?
Yes, because if they were anything else, I would have documented it.
Well, how long she took Zoloft? Did she take Zoloft, SSRI, after having Dawson?
I think she took it for about a week.
You think? Oh, she did.
She did.
So isn't that something that would be indicative of the fact that there was some psychiatric issues after she had her second child?
Yes, but she did not describe them as being severe.
Well, as a psychiatrist, can you ask her whether or not they're severe, or do you just wait for them to tell you?
Based on her description, they did not sound severe.
Tell me about bipolar. What's bipolar?
Bipolar is a mood disorder that has both depressive episodes as well as episodes of mania.
And is it your understanding that if a person has a difficult birth and in fact has some psychiatric attributes as a result of that difficult birth, that you should not prescribe SSRIs to that person because they could be bipolar?
Having a difficult birth does not, it's not a contraindication to an SSRI.
So after she had her second child, she took Zoloft, and you did not detail any side effects, and you don't remember any side effects. Do you agree that Lindsay had, at this point, a history of mental problems during postpartum?
She had a history of anxiety postpartum.
Anxiety to the point that she was prescribed an SSRI?
Yes.
And she also had mental problems when she came to see you, right?
Yes.
So she had mental problems after she had the second child, mental problems after she had the third child, correct?
Yes.
And you'd agree with me that this is not easy stuff for somebody to be talking about. People get embarrassed in our society if they had mental problems, don't they?
Some do.
She did, didn't she?
I'm not sure.
So, not documenting any of the side effects, did you think it would be important to document the side effects of the drug before you prescribed Zoloft a second time? She's telling you that she had. We don't know, but she had side effects with Zoloft. Was it important for you to document the second time that you're giving her Zoloft?
I did not feel that it was necessary to document the specific side effects.
So if someone comes to you as a person who is in postpartum and there's all the symptomology that she had related to you, that if she told you that she was on Zoloft after her second child and had side effects, you don't think it's important to document the side effects, number one, right?
It depends what the side effects are.
Which we don't know because you didn't write them down. You don't remember it.
I would have written them down.
You would have done. What did you do?
No, go ahead.
I would have written them down.
What did you do?
I wrote that she had side effects.
What are they?
I'm not sure.
And then you prescribed Zoloft again, didn't you, in 2022?
Yes.
Do you recall in the period of September of 22, October of 22, into November of 22, that she used the word overwhelmed, told you that she was overwhelmed? Is that correct?
Sorry, which visit are we looking at?
Well, the period of time, September, October, November. She used the terminology that she was overwhelmed.
Yes.
Okay. And when you were treating her, you didn't think that she was just merely overwhelmed with three children. You knew she was really struggling, didn't you?
I did.
And it was at that point that you diagnosed her with a psychiatric condition, and you prescribed psychiatric meds. Isn't that right?
Prescribed psychiatric medications, yes.
So when you prescribed the Zoloft and told her to increase it, she told you that she was having all these difficulties. You told her to stop. Did you give her therapy, Lucara?
Yes.
What did you do?
I think that I provided reassurance.
I apologize, but not what you think. I want to know what you did. And that's why you write stuff down. So take your time and look at your notes. What did you do with this young woman for therapy?
On which day?
On what?
Which day are we talking about specifically?
When she came to you and told you that she was overwhelmed and you diagnosed her with a mental illness and prescribed psychiatric condition, the psychiatric meds, what therapy did you give her? Because you told us that when you're on the television, you still give them therapy too, right?
I do.
What did you do?
Well, I'm having trouble identifying exactly when she said the words overwhelmed. Okay. So it's hard to pinpoint exactly what I said in a span of you know, a number of different visits.
Did you indicate that there's information on the website that if a person has an emergency that they should do something?
I did, and I advised her the same.
So basically, if one of your patients becomes suicidal, and on that note, did she tell you at that point up to November of 22 that she was dwelling on suicidal thoughts?
It was a while before she mentioned anything about suicidal thoughts.
Tell us when.
I might need to look through the records to see when she first did. December 1st.
So on December 1st, what did she tell you?
That she denied feeling suicidal, but that she was close to feeling suicidal.
That's kind of like being a fisherman out in the ocean who's worried about the possibility of a storm and is thinking about the storm and is dwelling on the storm. Almost in fear of the storm, right?
A text.
No.
Is it?
I guess.
So, when she tells you that she's, and I don't want to put words in her mouth, what did she say? She's having suicidal thoughts, or what did she say? Yeah. How close to it?
She denied having suicidal thoughts, but felt that she was getting close to it.
Okay. So she was dwelling on it or thinking about it, right? Is that fair?
She was fearful of eventually having those kinds of thoughts.
To kill herself?
Yes.
And how frequently were the thoughts?
I'm not sure exactly how frequent they were.
Did you ask her?
It's Sorry? Very likely that I did ask her the frequency.
Wouldn't that be in your medical records? When you see some patients, you have some patients other than Lindsay Clancy at that point, right?
Yes.
And you document when a patient, my God, a patient comes in and tells you that she's in postpartum distress and she's close to having suicide thoughts to kill herself, that's important, isn't it?
It's important that I am aware that she's having these thoughts.
What thoughts?
That she is fearful she could become suicidal.
And she told you, I imagine, or you asked, how frequently these thoughts were.
I don't have it documented how frequently they were, but that is a question that I usually ask when we're talking about suicidal thoughts.
When we're usually testifying in a murder case, we usually have facts that we can tell the jury, not speculation.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, sustained.
Did she tell you, or did you ask, about suicidal thoughts?
Yes.
What did she tell you? If you don't know, tell us.
No, I know. Sorry. But it's what I said before, that she denied having them, and she wasn't having them. We were meeting, but she felt close to it, close to having those thoughts.
Okay. So she... Would you agree with me that many times patients, especially psychiatric patients, minimize their symptomology?
Patients sometimes do.
And sometimes when a woman has just had a child and has other little kids at home, that they're worried about the government taking kids away from them, because you're a mandated reporter, aren't you? You're a mandated reporter, right?
I am.
And if she told you, I'm having suicidal thoughts and close to it, homicidal thoughts, you'd report that, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily. I think it really depends on the context. But having suicidal thoughts alone is not a reportable condition.
All right. So basically, We know that she was close to having suicidal thoughts to kill herself, whatever that means. We don't know how frequently she was having them. Yeah?
Today, I don't know how frequently, but at that point, I believe I did know how frequently they were.
Oh, okay. So as a result of that, you then gave her therapy, I imagine, right? With the television?
Yes.
And what therapy did you give her in November of 22?
I gave her supportive psychotherapy.
And what does that mean? It sounds great. What do you do?
It's listening to the patient and providing...
Sorry. Listening to the patient. Like when they say they're having...
Oh, hold on. Sustain. Next question.
Well, so,
you have to state
the answer.
Right. Next question.
Thank you, Doug. Listening to the patient. That would be when, for example, one of your patients tells you, after all the treatment that you had provided prior to that, all the symptomology that she had, insomnia, anxiety, all of that, that she's close to having suicidal thoughts. That would, I imagine, impact on you.
Yes.
So what did you do with this psychotherapy?
So I provided emotional support and validation and encouragement.
What does that mean?
Something like, I understand this is a very difficult time. It really, you know, it varies on the individual.
Sure. How about Lindsay?
I don't remember the exact therapeutic words that I used.
Okay. How long did you give us therapy? Validation and all that stuff.
I don't remember exactly the duration.
Maybe about 10 minutes?
Maybe.
Through the television, right?
Through the computer.
As we've pointed out, you tell the people that come to see you, when I say you, I mean collectively Aster Medical, that you would expect that if a person is in crisis, as you guys say, or is suicidal, that they would have to go to a computer or their cell phone, right? They would have to punch in your office, right? Look up the number.
We advise them to call 911 or go to the emergency room as quickly as possible.
How about suicide hotlines? Do you give them advice to call them?
That's an option as well, yes. Sure.
Did she call suicide hotlines?
I was not aware that she did.
Did you ever ask her?
I don't think I specifically asked that question.
No, not specifically. Did you ask her anything? Did you beat around the bush maybe? You ask her anything about suicide hotlines?
I don't think I asked her about suicide hotlines.
Would it surprise you to know that she called suicide hotline in that time frame, not once, but twice, and was turned away? You guys were on the front line of this, aren't you?
No, full rule.
It does surprise me, yes.
It does what?
It surprises me that she called them twice.
And you never asked her if she had ever called a suicide hotline, did you?
I don't think that I did.
Well, I understand. You were a doctor. You were trying to do the right thing. You obviously, this is just horrible, isn't it?
Yes.
She continued on with her treatment with you, correct?
Yes.
What was the next medication that you put her on? Let's say we're up to, I guess it would be the October 26th date. Is that right?
October 26th.
Is that when you prescribed Ativan?
I prescribed that on the 21st.
Sorry?
I prescribed the Ativan on the 21st.
All right. Did you prescribe anything on the October 26th appointment?
Yes.
And what was that?
Buspirone.
Buspirone. And would you agree with me that, is that also Vanspar?
Buspar or Buspirone are the common names for it.
Okay. You ever heard of Vanspar, V-A-N, V as in Victor, A-N-S-P-A-R? You ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. And would you agree with me that there are a number of side effects of Buspirone?
Every medication has side effects, but...
Okay, so my question is pretty simple. Buspirone, you mentioned it, I'm asking, any side effects?
Yes.
What are the side effects?
They could be tiredness or dizziness or rarely some upset stomach, but it's generally a very, very well-tolerated mild medicine.
And do you recall, was she taking any other medication at that point, if you know?
Yeah, she was taking some of the Ativan.
Some Ativan, right? Did you prescribe that to her?
Yes.
When did you prescribe the Ativan to her?
The 21st.
And she was compliant with your recommendations, right?
Yes.
Was she also reporting to you that she was taking Benadryl, like over-the-counter stuff?
It was being used as needed, yes.
So that's PRN on the records, PRN or whatever, you take it as required, right?
Yes.
And she reported to you that she was taking Benadryl, right?
She reported that, yes.
And you didn't document how much she was taking, right?
It's only available as one dose over the counter.
Okay. Did she re-up the dose over the counter? Do you know?
She didn't tell me that she did.
Did you ask her?
I don't remember asking her about if she increased it. I think she was just taking one of them.
You think? Did you know that Ativan and Benadryl are contraindicated, that they can have a serious impact to the central nervous system and depressant effects?
Yes, but can I explain that when they say depressant?
Excuse me. The answer is yes, right? Is the answer yes?
Yeah. If the answer is yes, if that's the question, the Commonwealth may be able to ask you further questions if you'd like.
Well, I can't say yes to that entire statement.
All right. Next question.
Did you discuss anything about Benadryl combined with Ativan on October 26th?
I don't recall.
On October 26th, was she still worried about suicidal thoughts?
She denied that.
And on October 26th, how did she deny that? Is that, do you have that noted in your record?
I do.
And what does it say?
Patient denies suicidal ideation.
Okay. So there's a huge difference between suicidal ideation and somebody having thoughts of suicide or being close to it, right?
Not exactly.
Well, you knew that the last time you spoke to the woman, she told you that she was close to having thoughts of killing herself, right?
Yes.
And you're her doctor, right?
Yes.
So what do? You just say, do you have, and check the box, and say, do you have any suicidal ideation? And she says no, and you check the box?
No, it's not that simple.
Do you ask her, like, well, gee, the last time I spoke to you, you told me that you were close to having suicidal thoughts of killing yourself. Did you pursue that on the 26th of October?
Yes.
And what did she say?
That she wasn't.
Now, how long was that appointment, if you recall? Would you agree it was 17 minutes and then there was some therapy?
The entire appointment was something between 25 and 30 minutes.
And that was, again, through the television, right?
The computer, yes.
Computer. Did you also add a drug called hydroxyzine?
Yes.
When was that?
So that was
the same visit as an alternative to the Benadryl.
Okay, so on October 26th, when she told you that she was taking over-the-counter Benadryl, I asked you what you prescribed to her, and you said Ativan, right? Right?
Yes.
And then I asked you about the contraindication of Ativan and Benadryl, right?
You asked me about that, yes.
And then you, on October 26th, started her on Buspar, correct?
Yes.
And what is the purpose of Buspar? Is that for anxiety?
Yes.
And what kind of drug is Buspar?
It doesn't really fall into a class, but it does act on serotonin.
So it's another, similar to an SSRI, right?
It's kind of like a more mild version of an SSRI.
Okay. So she's on Benadryl over-the-counter, Ativan, which is a benzodiazepine, Buspar, which is an SSRI, and then you prescribe hydroxyzine on the same day, right?
They weren't all to be taken at the same time.
What's hydroxyzine?
Hydroxyzine is an antihistamine.
Okay. Is that over-the-counter, or is that, can you just buy that over-the-counter, or do you have to go to the back where the pharmacist is?
You have to go to the pharmacist.
Okay. And as far as you're concerned, she was taking the medications as she was required, right?
That's what I was told.
I'm sorry?
Yes, that's what I was told.
Did you, by her?
Yes.
And did you at any time tell her that she should keep a diary of her medications and keep a diary of any side effects that she has?
I didn't instruct her to do that.
You don't have to instruct somebody to do anything, but did you recommend it? Like say, hey, if you're on all these meds, if you're having an effect, you should write it down. When, time, date, anything like that?
I didn't tell her to do that.
Would that be helpful?
Maybe, but usually we go through all of that in the appointments, and we met very frequently.
Now, you'd agree with me that at this point, prior to the next appointment, which was November 2nd, she had gotten significantly worse, even after all this medication that you had been prescribing, right? Did you make a note that she was telling you that she had depression and that she was crying, had more anxiety, insomnia had increased, brain fog, and worrying about suicide?
In the couple weeks after starting those medicines, I don't recall that the symptoms were significantly exacerbated.
Okay. Friday afternoon, you answered the DA and you said that you recall that she used the word brain fog, right?
She used that at some point. I don't recall when.
Okay. What is brain fog?
It's a very subjective feeling that someone might have where maybe it's, you know, hard to think of a word that you're trying to think of, or maybe it feels like, you know, maybe you're thinking of things a little bit more slowly than you normally would.
And how often was she dwelling on suicide?
At what point?
At the point she told you that she had anxiety, insomnia, brain fog, crying inconsolably.
Objection, if we can have a date.
I think she can get to that. Go.
October 26th, heading into November 2nd. Do you recall, I'll rephrase it, do you recall going into the November month, meeting with her, and she told you that she had brain fog?
It was mentioned at some point. I don't see that on the 26th specifically.
All right, so let's talk about brain fog. Did you ask her what that meant? Because when you say subjective, that means that's her interpretation. That's in her head. She's telling you, right?
Yes.
As opposed to objective, which would be what people in general would think, right?
Yes.
So when she's telling you, in addition to the anxiety, in addition to the crying, in addition to the stress that she was undergoing, she was worrying about suicide, she talked about brain fog. So you must have asked her, what does that mean? Subjectively, what does that mean?
Subjectively means in the patient's, you know, own opinion. That's what their experience is.
Okay, so she's the one that's inside her head, right?
Yes.
So what were the symptoms? What is it? When a patient tells you that they have brain fog, is that something you would consider as being a potential side effect of the medications that you would put her on?
It depends.
On what?
I mean, sometimes it could be, and sometimes it could be unrelated. It's a symptom of depression as well, so sometimes it's hard to tell what it's attributed to.
So at this point, heading into November, your answer was to prescribe more medication, three more drugs, right? You prescribed Ativan, or increased the Ativan. What was her load for Ativan at this point? Do you remember?
Sorry?
What was her milligrams, if that's right, or nanograms, whatever it is, on the Ativan, on the script that you had provided her?
Objection, if we could just have a date.
Like you said, no, if you can answer that, go ahead.
Which date are we referring to for the Ativan? Because there were... I'm sorry.
She already objected. Oh. He already said you can answer it. When did you increase her Ativan and to what level?
So she was prescribed Ativan 0.5 milligrams.
Right.
And then when I next saw her, she said it was a little bit helpful. So I said you could increase it and see if 1 milligram is more helpful.
Did she increase it?
Yes.
And when was the next time you saw her to talk to her on the television or on the computer?
Well, I saw her on the 26th, and then I saw her on the 31st. Okay. Oh, sorry.
How was she on the 31st? Halloween, sorry. How was she?
That's not my note. That's her therapy note.
Okay. So how about this November 2nd? Was that the next time you saw her?
I saw her on November 2nd.
And she told you that she was hesitant to use the medications, the Buspir and the hydroxyzine, right?
She said she was hesitant to try the Buspir.
She was scared of the drug. She was scared of the drugs, right?
She was afraid to take a medication.
She wasn't doctor shopping and asking you to give her drugs so she could get high. She was asking you for help. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And she was afraid to take the drugs and told you that she was afraid to take the drugs, right?
She told me she was afraid to take the Buspirin.
Did you advise her or counsel her or give her therapy about that? Validations?
Yes.
And what did you tell her?
Well, I advised her of, you know, the risks.
What were the risks?
Well, the risks of the medicine, like we had said, sedation or dizziness.
Okay. How about interfering with sleep?
Buspirone doesn't usually interfere with sleep.
Not usually? Did you ask her about any thoughts of suicide or being close to having thoughts of suicide?
Yes.
Did she indicate to you that she had any thoughts of suicide at all?
Not at that date.
Did she use those words, or is that a box that you checked off?
I don't remember her exact words, but we talked about suicide or, you know, thoughts of hurting yourself.
Right. And there's a distinction between, and your records in the notation, between suicidal ideation and I quote, worrying about, thinking about suicide. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And what did she mean when she told you, as her doctor, that she was worrying about thinking about suicide?
You mean in the prior appointment?
I'm talking about a woman that's sitting in front of you on your television or your computer telling you that she was worried about thinking about suicide.
Well, on the second, she didn't say that.
Okay. When was the next time that she told you that she was worried about or thinking about or suicidal ideation?
Um, That was the December 1st visit.
Okay.
So go back to the November 2nd visit. Would you agree with me that she, after you talked with her for that period, however long it was, that you then brought up four medications to her, recommending that they might be safer, and I quote, safer alternatives? Would you agree with that?
I see the word alternatives, safer alternatives.
Do you remember talking to her about Remeron?
Yes.
Did you recommend that she take Remeron?
No.
Did you ever prescribe Remeron?
No.
And is that mirtazapine, as far as its generic name?
Yes.
And Remeron is an antidepressant, isn't that right?
Yes.
And you did not feel that that would be an appropriate medication for her to take at that time?
It was a very reasonable option, but we didn't decide to start it.
So is this a collaboration? In other words, you and the patient, you would both make a decision as to when to start a drug? Or is it your decision and advice to the patient?
Well, it's ultimately my decision, but the patient's thoughts about the matter are very important. At the end of the day, the patient has to go home and take it themselves. I'm not there to ensure that that is happening or not.
So you had a November 22nd appointment, right?
Yes.
And it was at that time that she told you that she had been to see South Shore Perinatal Clinic, right?
Yes.
And did she tell you why she was seeing someone from the South Shore Perinatal Clinic?
I think she told me that it was because they were exclusively focused on treating perinatal conditions.
Yeah, but so were you, right?
Not exclusively. I'm a general psychiatrist.
I see. And did she mention the name of any doctor or nurse practitioner that she was seeing at the South Shore Perinatal Clinic?
Yes.
Who'd she mention?
I think she said something about Julie.
Paul?
Yes.
Okay. And a woman by the name of Nurse Jawada?
I heard her name a little bit later, okay. But yes.
Did she advise that, in fact, by script, she was using Ativan and Benadryl, and you told her to taper off the Ativan at that appointment, right? Had she tapered off the Ativan?
I think I had told her to... I gave her a prescribed taper prior to that appointment.
What does that mean? What does that mean, you gave her a prescribed taper?
So I told her that she should reduce her dose by 0.25 milligrams every 2 weeks until the medication was stopped.
Did she do that?
I don't believe that she completely stopped it, no.
No? You don't believe, or she didn't?
Well,
trying to give the jury facts.
Yeah, she said she was taking Ativan, so no, she didn't completely stop it.
Had she tapered?
I'm not sure how much she had reduced the dose, because I wasn't prescribing it again.
Right. So, did you know that she had been, or had she been, to any emergency wards between that period of time that you last saw her and when you were seeing her on this meeting?
I know she went to the ER, but I think it was after that.
Okay, which ER did she go to, do you know?
I think she went to Mass General.
Do you know why she went to the ER?
Because of depression.
So was she treated at the ER? Did they make any, to your knowledge, as her doctor, make any recommendations?
I'm not sure what they told her, but they ultimately...
Go ahead.
They ultimately discharged her. They didn't admit her.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Was she put on any medication?
Not from the ER.
When you looked at the records from South Shore Perinatal Clinic, what did they indicate about suicidal ideation, worrying about suicide, close to suicide, anything?
I didn't have access to those records.
You're going to keep your voice up so everybody can hear you.
You what?
I did not have access to those records.
Good.
Because we're a completely separate clinic.
Seriously?
Objection.
She's visiting with you as a patient and you can't access her medical records? Is what you're telling this jury?
I did not have access to them, no.
Could she have signed a release? A HIPAA form?
Yes, she could have.
And you could have got the records?
Yes.
But you didn't?
I did not feel like it was necessary because she provided all the relevant information about her treatment there.
How do you know? She's got mental disease and she's seeing you and she's on all this cocktail of drugs. How do you know that she is an accurate historian at this point in her life?
It felt very accurate when she was able to recall the names of the medicines, doses of the medicines, specific days. She provided a lot of incredibly detailed information. So it showed me she was capable of doing that.
So when you talked to her husband, Pat, how many times did you talk to her husband, Pat?
I think
the guy was living with her.
I think it was once.
And he came to your office, right? No, he didn't. He got on the television or the computer screen, right?
Yes.
And when was that?
I think it was the December 16th visit.
So, let's...
Reddington, before we get to that,
okay.
Probably a good spot to stop. We're going to take the morning recess, and then we'll come right back, okay?
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps, head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.